All right, today is a special Sunday. And I would want you to sense my excitement. We're celebrating the activity of God. And for myself, the more I've gone on spiritually, the more the importance of being thankful has become a part of my life. We have just so much to be thankful for, so many things we take for granted. Now, every Sunday here, we are thankful. We sing God's praise. But it's good to have some special events, some special times, where we say in a special way, we just want to heighten that, and that is today, celebrating the activity of God. We're going to look back. A lot of things we have forgotten, like baptisms or those who have joined the church, things like that, that it's good to be reminded of and say, God, thank you. You've been good to us. God has been good to us over the past year. In 1 Thessalonians, we're studying 1 Thessalonians usually on Sundays now, but Paul ends with some concluding exhortations. And he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so Paul wants those in Thessalonica who are experiencing trials and tribulations to be thankful. And I've said this a number of times, it's probably more important to be thankful when we're in difficulties, when things are going well. Because it just sets the course of our thoughts, our life, determinative. So we want to be thankful people. That is encouraged here. And what we do each year at this time is take one of the Acts 2:42 priorities. So there are several things we do. The Acts 2:42 priorities, which we want as our priorities. In the early church, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So those were the things in the early church they were continually devoting themselves to. Strong idea. And so every year we take one of those ideas and give it special emphasis. And this year it is the apostles' teaching. So in the year ahead, and you may have ideas for us, how can we make the Word of God, how can we give it a special emphasis this year? And I'll be talking about a few of those things this morning. But this morning, to bring that emphasis on the apostles' teaching, we are going to 2 Timothy 3. So open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3. Next Sunday, we'll be back in 1 Thessalonians 2. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 14 through 17. Continue in the Word. And so we want to kind of get our bearings. We want to establish the context. Paul is writing this small epistle, some four chapters, while he's imprisoned in Rome. This is his second imprisonment. He had been imprisoned earlier under house arrest, released, and then put back in prison. And Paul knows this is the end of his life. This is it. And indeed, tradition tells us he was martyred at this time in Rome. And so Paul is writing to Timothy. I think it's verse 2. I don't have it in front of me. Chapter 1, verse 2. He speaks of Timothy as his beloved son. Paul had this special relationship with Timothy. Probably led him to Christ at Lystra on his first missionary journey. And then Timothy joins Paul's missionary team on his second missionary journey. And Paul writes Timothy, and he's warning Timothy of difficult days in ahead. There's going to be persecution and deception. And Paul's main emphasis, and you can see it in chapter 3, verse 14, it's an imperative, in light of persecution, in light of deception, Timothy, continue in the Word. That's his emphasis. Continue in the Word. Hold on to it. Preach it. Teach it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, using the Word of God. It was about 5 years ago we had the 2016 Olympics. Anybody remember where they were? Nobody remembers. Boy, it's all foggy in the past. Rio de Janeiro down in Brazil. And this was our 4x100 meter relay team, at least three members of the team. And what happened was in the finals, as the baton was being handed off, how many of us have ran track? All right, there's a few hands up. I was talking with Keith. Keith's back there. Keith said he ran a 9.4 100-yard dash. Phenomenal. Keith was fast. Keith, I'm using it in a past tense. He probably would say he's not as fast today. Handing off the baton, and they flubbed it. They blew it. And so they were disqualified. And so Tyson Gay had this to say. He said it has to be the worst luck for this country ever. It's always something weird, stupid, simple, mistakes that always cost us. And I don't understand. We had great sticks in practice. That's what they call the baton, the stick. We had great sticks in practice, great chemistry, great everything. And then something so simple. I can't think of nothing else to say but bad luck. I mean, it's weird. Disqualified, they did not hand off the baton properly. And Paul's concern as he writes to Timothy is that of handing off the baton. That's a good imagery for you to have. Paul is handing off the baton to Timothy. Paul is in prison, in Rome, is going to die, and Timothy is his beloved son, his understudy, and he wants him to continue in the word. He wants him to continue in the ministry. So that's what's going on. So 2 Timothy is a very special book, isn't it? All of Scripture is special. But Paul, in that context, writing to his understudy, boy, what do you say? Well, one thing for sure, Paul is going to say, continue in the word. You continue in the word. Notice, and let me say this, we're going to read our passage. Today, we would look at our culture and our lives and say, we're in some difficult days. Wouldn't we? And I think this is the exhortation we need. Continue in the word. Because there are all kinds of things we can do as we prepare for difficult, more difficult days ahead that many of us are convinced are coming. But I'll tell you, this is at the very front of all. Continue in the word. Continue in the word. Well, Paul, tell us why. Why? Why, Timothy? So notice verse 10. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. And Timothy was from Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Exclamation. But I find that rather interesting. He says, out of all of these things the Lord delivered me. Because you remember in Lystra what happened? He was stoned and thought dead and dragged outside the city. And yet Paul is speaking of it. He delivered me out of all of these things. So keep that in mind when you're going through difficulties. Maybe it doesn't mean the difficulties are all going to go away, but through it all, he delivers us. Amen? Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters are going to proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however... All right, so he's talking about this context in the future. And then Paul says, you, however, Timothy, continue in the things you have learned. Continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And many of us are familiar with these two verses. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And so let's pull out of here the reasons Paul gives to Timothy to continue in the Word. You have a sense of context now and what's going on and the urgency of all of this. Timothy, continue in the Word. Because of those that you have learned it from. Notice verse 14. You, however, Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings or the scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And so Timothy was to continue in the word. Why? Because of those whom he had learned it from. And as a child, who had he learned the word of God from? He had learned it from his grandmother Eunice and his mother, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. That's who he had learned it from. And in fact, in chapter 1 of this little epistle, Paul points that out. He says, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. And so Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him the word of God. And not only did they teach it, they modeled it. Paul speaks here of what? A sincere faith. And so Timothy saw in his mother and grandmother a sincere faith, and that faith was being taught to him. Timothy, continue in the word because of those who taught it to you. And those who taught it to Timothy would also include who? The Apostle Paul, who is perhaps one of the greatest teachers the church has ever known, one of the greatest theologians. And so continue in the word because you know those from whom you have learned it. You've seen their sincere faith. And Paul could say it's been argued so strongly for you. We're going to apply this. We're not going to get very far in our passage, and we're going to apply this. And I want to say to our parents, teach your children the Word of God. Now, that's what Paul is alluding to when it comes to Timothy. You were taught the Word by your mother and your grandmother, by myself. Continue in what you have been taught. I can't say that with enough emphasis. Parents, grandparents, we need to be teaching our children the Word of God. The Nazarene Church Growth Research had this pie chart. And it shows the ages at which Americans accept Christ and would say, hey, that's when I became a Christian. And you notice that the largest segment, ages 4 through 14, some 85%, that age group is when they accept Christ. Now, I've looked elsewhere, and that figure probably of 85% is a little bit high. It may be closer to 70%, but still the idea is there. That actually, they speak of this 4 to 14 window, this window of opportunity when children accept Christ. And I think we see here that the older one gets, the less likely they will respond to the gospel message. D.L. Moody, great evangelist in the 1800s, said this, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. He was one of these great evangelists, but I believe he did start out with Sunday school, didn't he, Jack?
Yes.
His ministry was in Chicago with Sunday school. And now he's reflecting back on his life, and it seems as if he's saying, boy, if I had it to do over again, forget adults. I'm going with kids. Right? I'm being stating a little bit bluntly there, but this emphasis on children. Here's an article by White Hutchinson Leisure and Learning Group. Now, notice what they say about children. Barna's research on faith development and discipleship also found that the moral development of children is complete by age, what is it?
Nine.
Does that astound you? Well, what they're saying is that the concrete starts to set in their lives by age 9. So you better teach and teach well while they're young. Non-religious oriented research on children's moral and values development substantiates that the foundation for lifelong values and morals are formed at the earliest years. The May 2001 Barna's research also showed that church attendance by children has a lifelong impact. The majority of adults who attended church as children still attend regularly, while only 22% of those who are not churchgoers as children attend church today. Oh, the importance of teaching our children when they're young the Word of God. And that's exactly what Paul is alluding to Timothy. He's saying, continue in the things that you learn from your mother and your grandmother and me. The impact it had. And so, there's all kinds of ways we can apply this. And we need to work to apply it. We can get oh so creative. As I was thinking of this, there's an Old Testament passage that came to mind. It's Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, where the writer Moses is telling them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says, then you need to teach it to your children. You need to teach the Word of God in the morning. You need to teach it to them when they go to bed at night. You need to teach them when you're at home. You need to teach them when you're on the donkey heading to market. You need to teach them in all kinds of ways. And that's where we want to be as parents. And so here, family devotions. I'm going to do some things this year to emphasize family devotions. I believe they're very important. Mentoring, memorizing God's Word, having them in church, in Sunday school, kids' clubs, sending them to a Christian school or homeschooling them, summer camps, Worldview Academy. How many of us have sent our children to something like Worldview Academy in the summer? And I think if you see those whose hands are raised, they'd say, boy, if you can do it for your kids. Why? Why do it? Because you get them around other young boys and girls who are excited about the things of God, and it's contagious. It's just contagious when you're around people who love God and you're around teachers who are excited about the truth of God's Word. So, summer camps, Bible school, all kinds of ways to teach them God's Word. And so what's the overarching idea? Paul is saying to Timothy, continue in the Word. And why? Because you learned it from your mother and grandmother. You learned it from me. Second reason, continue in the Word. Notice verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, Timothy, why continue in the Word? Because it gives you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Talks about the sacred writings in verse 15. They would be the Old Testament scriptures, which taught there's one true God, which convicted of sin, which pointed to a promised Messiah. And today we would add the New Testament scriptures. And they bring a much fuller, deeper, clearer understanding of the salvation that's found in Christ. Continue in the Word because it's what brings you to salvation in Jesus Christ. Stories told of a drunk, and a police officer found him. He was on his knees looking for something, and this drunk explained to the officer in rather slurred speech that he was looking for his wallet. And the officer inquired, he said, well, where did you lose it? And he pointed and he said, well, about two blocks that way. And the officer was a bit confused, a bit amused, and he said, well, why are you searching for it here? And his response was, because there's no street light down there. There's no street light down there. He was looking in the wrong place. And all around us, people in a drunken stupor brought on by sin are looking for answers in the wrong places. And it is the Word of God that gives the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God that helps us understand our sin and our need of a Savior, convicts of sin, and points us to Jesus Christ in whom is found salvation. Timothy, continue in the Word. Because it brings people to salvation in Christ. It brought you to that place. Romans 10, Paul writes about the importance of the Word of God. And he says, for the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, oh, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of great things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Paul says people can't call upon one whom they have not heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Paul's conclusion is the feet of those who proclaim the word of God and the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ are beautiful. What beautiful feet of the evangelist. And we all can be evangelists as we continue in the word and bring the message of salvation into our various platforms of opportunity. Timothy, continue in the word. Would you say that with me? Timothy, continue in the word. Let's try that again. Timothy, continue in the word. Reason number three. In the passage we're probably the most familiar with, but Timothy, continue in the word because it is inspired by God and equips a person for every good work. Notice verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Timothy, continue in the word because of it's inspired and through it is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. All scripture is inspired by God, which would speak of the Old Testament scriptures clearly. And I think actually Paul had an understanding that what he wrote was scripture. In fact, Peter in 2 Peter 3 has this to say concerning Paul's writings. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, the end, the return of Christ, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved Paul did. So now Peter's alluding to Paul. According to the wisdom given him, he wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things in which some things are hard to understand. Isn't that good to see? That Peter writing to Paul says, and this is Peter writing to Paul saying, some of that stuff's hard to understand. You find eschatology in times hard to understand? No hands up? Both of my hands are up. This is a challenge. Right? And some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they also do, what does he say? The rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. And so Peter includes Paul's writings in with the rest of the scriptures. All scripture, Old and New Testaments, are inspired by God. Inspired is one word, actually, in the Greek. It has two parts, God and breathed. God breathed. So Scripture is God breathed. It's breathed out by God. We might say it's exhaled by God. And it is the Word of God itself that is inspired. Peter has told us that men of God were moved by the Spirit of God in penning the Word of God. But Paul here in 2 Timothy 3 is talking about the end result. It is the Word of God that is inspired. And so we are right to speak of our Old Testament and New Testament scriptures as Word of God. And because they are the Word of the living God, they are inerrant and authoritative. All scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That's what it does. That's what it brings to a life. For teaching is probably as well translated doctrine, because it's talking about this body of truth that we have in the Word of God. I used to thank God for His Word and wanting to live in obedience to it. And I've improved my prayer. You know what I pray? Not just in obedience to it, but I want to live in light of what its light is. Do you see the difference? God's Word doesn't just bring us commands to obey. It brings us light to help us understand who our God is. Oh, there's a big difference. And so that's the Word of God. It's for teaching, for doctrine, and then for reproof. God's word convicts us of sin. It's living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. In the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 22, Josiah becomes the king of Israel, actually the south, Judah. And they rediscover, he's bringing revival to the nation, and they rediscover the word of God in the temple as they're making repairs. Isn't that something, to think that the word of God, in a sense, had been lost because of bad kings? And this is what he does. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Akam the son of Saphan, and Akbar the son of Micaiah, Saphan the scribe, and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to what all that is written concerning us." And so he rents his clothes and he says, "We have failed to live in accord with the word of God. Go inquire of God and help us understand that more fully." But it was bringing what? It was bringing conviction of sin. So the word of God is profitable for teaching and reproof. And we know what that is. Don't we? We do. I know we do. I don't want to say don't we. We do. We know what it is when the word of God is used by the Spirit of God to address different issues in our life. That's the idea. It reproves us. And then for correction, it puts us back on the right path. And then for training in righteousness, it helps us stay on that right path. And so we see the progression here, don't we? Yet we have the light of God's word, the truth of God's word. And it convicts us in our sin, and it corrects us, it puts us on the right path, and it trains us in righteousness so we continue to walk on that path. That's the word of God. And Paul's conclusion, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The word of God, the inspired word of God, which teaches and reproves and corrects and trains, equips us. How does it equip us? Well, first of all, it changes us. You know, one of the greatest privileges of being a pastor who studies God's word is the word becomes a part. It salves my life. It works in my life. So it equips me. It changes me. And then I want to so desperately want to bring the word of God in ways that are plain and practical so that our lives collectively are transformed. And that's not just my desire. That's the desire of all the teachers here as they use the word of God. Oh, Timothy, continue in the word. It's inspired. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you want to know where Paul goes with this? I like it when our writer applies the word of God, what he's speaking about. And that's where Paul goes. Notice chapter 5. What does Paul say? "Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." Now, before we see what he commands him in verse 2, we need to understand this idea of a solemn charge. Oh, Paul is bringing this with the greatest weight that he can. Did you see that in verse 1? He says, "I solemnly charge you in light of what I just told you, but in the presence of God." I do this before God and before Jesus Christ. And Christ is going to judge the living and the dead, and he's going to appear and establish his kingdom. Paul is saying to Timothy, in light of those great realities, in light of those, verse 2, preach the word. And it's an imperative. Timothy, in light of all that I've just said, in light of these great realities that we affirm, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Oh, teach the word. Preach it. In all kinds of ways. And from there, you know what he's going to go on and say, and we're not going to look at this. He's going to say, you know, in time, the church is going to want men to come in who will tickle their ears. You know, just give me something that makes me feel good. Can I say this in all honesty? Oftentimes we don't need something that makes us feel good. Sometimes something that makes us feel bad. Because when we feel bad and are corrected by the Word of God, then it ultimately feels good. Does it make sense? We know what that is. This little bowl made the news this week. Did anybody see this story? Sarah, she's on the stage. I like it when nobody raises their hand because then I can tell you whatever I want. You can go fact check me. But this is the headline. This is from Associated Press. Bowl bought for $35 at Connecticut yard sale turns out to be Chinese artifact worth up to $500,000. This photo provided by Sotheby's in New York on Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021, so just this Tuesday, shows a small porcelain bowl bought for $35 at a Connecticut yard sale that turned out to be a rare 15th century Chinese artifact worth between $300,000 and $500,000. The bowl will be offered in Sotheby's auction of important Chinese art in New York on March 17th. Anybody going to show up for the auction? Wow. My point, what am I driving at? The unbelievable value that wasn't realized with that little bowl. Somebody bought it at a garage sale. Diana, I say this to you. My wife loves garage selling. Went yesterday, got some. She always showed me her finds. But oh, are we waiting for a find like this? Boy, we can come up with something like that. We'll throw a party. Do steaks. Kind of like, look at this. Somebody missed the value. We don't want to miss the value of God's Word. Especially in today's climate. Because so many people, we're looking for anchors for our lives. We're looking for bearings. How do we walk a right path? And then for others who may ask us in all of this, how do we do this? Oh, Paul says to Timothy, continue in the Word. Why? Because of those you have learned it from. Your mom, grandma, myself. Because it gives the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Continue in it. Don't go someplace else. And that's the danger, isn't it? When as people are looking for answers, we want to give them something that's almost watered down or will not really, truly address the deepest needs in their lives. Let's unapologetically preach Christ. Proclaim Christ in the Word of God. That's what Paul said to those in Corinth. He said, basically, my message is simple. I preach Christ and Christ crucified. So as people come to us for answers, it's really good to say, well, let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to the Word. Let's see what it says. And sometimes it's not always easy to know where we should take them in God's Word. But I've learned when people bring me some tough issues that I say, let's get back to basics. Because there are certain foundations and fundamentals that we can always go to. Let's get back to basics and then we can work from there. And then finally, Timothy, continue in the Word because it's inspired by God and it will equip you for every good work. Oh, our emphasis in the year ahead is a great one, isn't it? The Word of God, the Apostles' teaching. And so let me give some applications, and then we're going to go to the communion table. I'm going to call us this year to memorize Psalm 1 and Psalm 19. So do some scripture memory, and I'll have to sort through how do we practically get you to encourage you to do that. You know, on Wednesday nights, we're teaching Psalm 23 to your children. We're indoctrinating them. I love it, right? We're teaching them these songs and the Word of God. Booklet on the back table. Jonathan, you can raise your hand right by Jonathan back there. How to have a quiet time. Maybe you're wondering, all right, I'll make a commitment this year to begin to have my quiet time. And can I humbly say you should have a quiet time? That's getting out of the gate. When it comes to the priority of God's Word. And if you want help in that, I'll gladly help you. And it isn't like, well, we're going to start with 6 days a week and an hour and a half each day. I'd start to vibrate if somebody told me that. But maybe we start three times a week for 15 minutes. And this is what we do. Quiet time. Adult discipleship class. Jack is going to start a class next week on Christian basics, really. Jack, what's the name of your class?
Things revealed.
And later, I'd like to do, or maybe one of the other elders or another teacher, how to study the Bible. And I encourage your participation in the Biblical Counseling Center and its training. It is so much good training. And they teach us how to use the Word of God with precision. We're blessed to be involved with that ministry and be a part of it. And then parents, family, devotions. I'm going to commit to you that every month we send out a newsletter. But I'm going to start to talk to parents who have devotions with their children. And we're going to learn from them. So I may ask Danny and Sarah, you write up a half sheet or a sheet page, and you tell us what you do with your kids. And we'll put that in the newsletter, and each month we're going to learn from one another. How many think that's a good idea? How come not every hand's up? I think it's a tremendous idea. I might ask Chris and Luana, what did you do? Yeah. How have you taught God's Word to your children? We can learn so much from one another. I remember Tim talking with him, and I believe he mentioned worship and singing. That never really was a part of my thinking when it came to family devotions. We sing. But there's so many good ideas.